Okay, at this time I'm going to invite the team to come up on the stage with me. We hadn't practiced this part. So what we thought we'd do today for part of our presentation is to do a little discussion panel, which I will moderate, even though I was one of the participants on this trip. But before we get into the presentation, just so in case some of you may be visiting today, why don't you use the blue mic and just state your name? And so everybody can know who went on the trip.
Lucas Van Aker.
Yeah. Megan Van Aker.
Lauren Bell.
Justin Bell.
Fran Steitler.
Rickford Jones.
Dixie Castor.
Kathy Fisher.
And Rex Fisher. You can hand that back to Lucas and Megan. So let me kind of give you an overview of the trip. You can go to the next slide there, Charlie. We went primarily to partner with a missionary family that we support as a church. That would be Dan and Arena Doyle. Their picture's in the upper left-hand corner. And their six daughters, Eva, Annika, Audra, Ivy, Eden, and Isabella. And they've been part of our missionary family since 2018, but this is the first time that we've been able to send a team to partner with them on the field. And so let me just give you an overview of what they're doing. That family in the middle, all right, is the pastor of La Fe Church. His name is Jairo Martinez and his wife Veronica. They have two children, Ariana and Ilian. And so he's the pastor of La Fe Church. And there were two other pastors that served with him about 2.5 years ago. And so they had extended an invitation to the family in the upper right. That's another missionary couple, Joe and Heidi DePew, and their two children, Isaiah and Eliana. And so they extended an invitation to, why don't you come to Cuenca and help us, because we have a location on one side of the city of Cuenca, and we want to plant another church on the other side of the city, and we need your help with that. So about 2.5 years ago, the DePew family came to help with that. And then about a year ago, an invitation was extended to Dan and Arena and their family to come and help as well. Well, once they arrived, some things happened. Two of the three pastors resigned from the church for different reasons. And so they basically are one church with two sites under the leadership now of one pastor, Pastor Jairo. And the church picture on the lower right is, I'm going to make sure I get the name of this right, Mira Flores was the original location on one side of the city, and you'll hear more about some work that we did there. And then the church plant is what you see in the lower left hand. That is Misacada, and so one location, two sites. But you can see the challenge. When they started it, they thought they had three pastors, two missionary families helping with this, and within a short period of time, they're down to one pastor and two missionaries. So some of the responsibilities that Dan and Arena have taken on have changed over the last year. Initially, he and the DePews would be focusing on the church plant, but they've understood that there's a need to build up men and leaders, church leaders at the home church, and so the sending church. So they are working on that. Dan and Arena are focused more on discipleship within the home church, while the DePews are focused more on evangelism and trying to get that new that church plant started. The couple down in the middle on the lower end are Alex and Lorena Soto. This is an exciting story. They actually came up under Dan's ministry when he was in Nicaragua. And now They want to become missionaries themselves from Nicaragua to Ecuador. And so they're on a one-year internship to prepare to become full-time missionaries, whether that's in Ecuador or somewhere else. But this very exciting that we were able to spend that time with them. So that's a little bit of overview of what they're doing there. And I want to give the rest of the team a chance to share some of the aspects of our trip. So I'm going to begin with Lucas and Megan. And I wanted to ask you, you weren't the only ones where this was a first-time mission trip, but you were one of the couples where it was. So just share some of the experience with us about what was it like to go on a short-term mission trip for the first time.
Okay. So it was our first trip, both of us, and it was amazing to have the opportunity together. Of course, neither of us knew what to expect. And I was very excited. Lucas was like, "What is Megan getting me into?" But since day one, the Lord provided for us. And day one meaning when we met as a group, as a team in America before we even left, we had team meetings to prepare for the trip. And God used that time to bond us together. So when travel day came, we were traveling with family. It was so comfortable to be with one another, to know, to have the experience we had to prepare and plan. So I already felt safe leaving because I knew I was safe with my family. And, you know, financially, God provided for us. We chose to go on this trip during a very busy season of our life. We moved. We bought a house. We had new jobs. I wasn't working this summer as a teacher to prepare for the move. So financially, it wasn't ideally for us as a couple to budget for that. But the Lord provided through our family, through our friends, and through the domino effect of people hearing that we were going and doing this work in Ecuador, and people are like, how can we help? We want to provide. And the Lord did that for us. So we were able to go financially, not just on our own dollar, but from support from close family and friends, which was amazing. And then when we were there, we were speaking with the couple that we stayed with, our host family. That was Alex and Lorena, the Nicaraguans. They're a young couple. And every morning we had breakfast with them, and we were just kind of talking about the work that we were doing in Ecuador. But Alex was challenging us, and he's like, what are you going to do when you get back? And he was telling Lucas, like, you should be a pastor, like, you can work, because they knew that we they knew that we worked with the children's ministry here at Bible Baptist in SOTUS, and that, you know, that I loved working with kids. And he's like, you should be a pastor. You should connect. And Lucas is like, I can't do that. And we're like, oh, we're not prepared for that. Like, we are not qualified. And Alex spoke to our heart, and we knew that was a message from God through Alex. And he's like, you aren't prepared. Like, humans aren't prepared to do the work. God does the work through you. And that changed our entire perspective. Like, we were not there for ourselves. We were there for God, and God equipped us to do what we needed to do in Ecuador through us, and he will continue to do that for us now that we are back. He will continue to do the work that we need to do to make more and better disciples. And so if you are thinking about a missions trip, nervous about a missions trip, don't feel prepared for a missions trip, whether it's financially, spiritually, or whatever, that's okay. You're not supposed to. God will do it through you. So pray for that if that's something that's on your heart. Also, I'm supposed to talk about these pictures here. So I just want to say, if you have a missions trip planned and it falls during your wedding anniversary, don't let that stop you, because your team will still find a way to publicly embarrass you, because ours did. Lucas and I celebrated our second wedding anniversary the Monday that we were there. In that top right picture, that's us wearing sombreros at a Mexican restaurant, and they, just as it sounds, they brought out the sombreros. They were singing and dancing and publicly embarrassing us and videotaped the whole thing. So I think it's on Facebook if you want to see that. So yeah, that was just a little bit of our experience.
So at the beginning of this trip, Rex asked us what we wanted to bring to the trip and what we wanted God to do in us in the trip. And with it being my first missions trip, I pretty much said, I just hope I'm of use. I hope I can do something helpful to the team, because I'm not going to be a street evangelist at any point in my life, and I'm not going to be able to speak to a lot of these people. Spanish, I speak English. This isn't, you know, going to be something in my wheelhouse. So I was looking forward to work projects, primarily, and the church needed enough to get up on this rickety ladder to get the top wall here. So, you know, God provided that team, I guess. But what God did was he helped change my perspective on things, and he opened up my eyes to the value of relationships and the fact that you don't need to be the most well-spoken person in the world. You just need to share what God has done in your life, and he kind of reiterated the power of your testimony to me. You don't need to have the entire Bible memorized to be able to help bring people closer to Christ. And that was really powerful for me. And I also think that the Doyles did a great job of continually but gently pushing our comfort zones. And I feel like I'm a lot more willing and able to share my faith with other people now as a result of being there and just being with them and following their lead for 10 days or so.
All right, thanks. Would you hand the mic down to Dixie? So I do have a question for Dixie.
Oh.
Yeah, and you can share something else too beforehand.
Okay.
But
okay.
So I hope you don't mind, Dixie. I kind of prepared you for this question, but so Dixie is the oldest member of our team. If she wants to share her age, she can, but I won't disclose that. But she is the oldest member of our team, and I thought it'd be a good perspective to share, you know, what prompted you to want to go on this trip, and also knowing it was going to be rigorous and demanding, and yet it didn't stop you. If you had something else you wanted to comment on first, you can, and then I'd like you to answer that question.
Okay. Where's that picture? Oh, not that picture. But that picture previously when Lucas was speaking of, the one in the center, FYI, he's on a table on the ladder to reach, yes. So that, just so you know. For me particularly, I didn't overthink it, and I knew immediately when I even heard about this trip, I knew that I was going to participate. God had made it very clear to me, and I was fine with that. I was fine with that. I wish now I had better prepared myself physically. The altitude was a bit of a problem. I sounded a lot like Darth Vader a good amount of the time. And they had to scrape me up off of cement a time or two, but other than that, absolutely, I would do it again in a heartbeat. Don't overthink it. If the opportunity comes, don't let age be a factor. You do the best you can. You've got a very supportive team with you, and while you don't want to make it harder for them, you will be just fine. Mm-hmm. Just answer that call.
Thanks. So there. This was a great trip, and you're going to hear a lot of positive things that happened. But we would be amiss if we didn't acknowledge that there were a few challenges as well. And I'm going to let Justin and Lauren share with you a major challenge that we face. But before they do, I just wanted to share a couple verses that became verses that maybe we weren't planning on being verses that we adopted as our theme verses for the trip, but based on some of the things that we faced, it did. Psalm chapter 121, verses 1 and 2. The psalmist writes, "I lift up my eyes to the mountains." And you can see why that would have been a theme verse where we were up in the middle of the Andes Mountains. But I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And I want you to hear Justin and Lauren's story about how God proved to be their help.
So when we were planning to go on this trip, at first we weren't sure if we were going to be able to go because of just financial reasons. But you know, the Lord totally provided for us, and we knew in that moment that we were meant to go on this trip. And it was just amazing how just, you know, even though we weren't sure, God made us totally sure that this was where we were meant to be. So we leave on our trip, and we're traveling. Once we flew there, we're traveling and about to go over the Andes Mountains. We stop at a gas station, and we go in, you know, buy some snacks or whatever. We come back out to the bus, and we're sort of standing around the bus, and we realize that Justin's backpack is gone. And we'd all been standing right there the whole time, and there had always been someone watching, and yet it was gone. And we thought, okay, maybe somebody moved it into a different vehicle, because we were traveling with two vehicles. So we carried on and went over the Andes Mountains and got to a stopping point and looked in the other vehicle. It wasn't there. And that backpack had money, it had a passport, and it had the majority of Justin's clothing in it. There were some underwear and socks going on in there. Yeah. So we're instantly, I was instantly terrified. And I felt so violated. And I'm like, why would God bring us on this mission trip so, you know, clearly, and then have something like this happen to us, something that we couldn't have possibly thought would happen? But instantly, Dan Doyle was like, the Lord has providentially laid this out. He knew that this would happen. There's a reason for it. He's going to grow you spiritually through this experience. And that is exactly what happened. Even on that bus ride, you know, Rex started singing songs, and I'm sobbing, like, you know, really, really crying. And Rex starts singing, and I knew, even though I wasn't feeling faith or trust or any of those things in that moment, I just needed to sing, and I needed to worship God, and I needed to look up to the mountains. And we were even, you know, at one point, Dan sang that song that we played during the video, I Lift My Eyes Up to the Mountains, and I just thought about the Lord of the universe, the God that created these mountains, he laid this out, and he knew what he was doing. And I've never grown in my faith like I had on this trip ever before. I mean, I trust God with everything now. And it's just amazing that he let us go on this trip and changed our lives so totally. It was amazing. And Justin has...
What I'd like to add to that is it also helped me grow as well, too. I know for Lauren, it hurt her more than it hurt me, losing that passport. And, you know, the first thing I was thinking is, like, God's going to provide. God's going to provide for us. But the thing I felt bad for was Lauren was feeling so bad about it. And, you know, through her crying and everything, I just really couldn't do anything. I felt powerless over that. And one particular situation I remember clearly was there was this one moment where we were going into Cuenca. We were going through one of the markets and everything, and we were buying a few stuff, some souvenirs and stuff. And I still remember one of the kids, Eden, one of Dan's children, comes up to us and says, like, what's wrong? What's wrong? Because she noticed Lauren was, you know, crying and everything. So, and then, you know, I kind of deflected the question, and I said to her, you know, everything's fine. Lauren's just a little tired and everything. She's worried, you know, just worrying and everything. And then just a few seconds later, all the kids just come by and just, like, really cheer her up and everything, and just wanted to bring up her spirits and everything, showing all the different stuff that they bought at the place and so on and so forth. And, you know, like, soon after, when we're walking out of that place, I see Eden just take Lauren's hand, just, like, you know, started, like, you know, just being happy and just, like, trying to cheer her up and everything. And I think one thing that really grew about this trip with me was, you know, I got to pray for other people more. And I really noticed, you know, when I was powerless to do anything, I turned to the Lord and prayed to him and, you know, just asked his prayer, just be like, you know, just help my wife. You know, she's really struggling. You know, she really needs you. You know, do that through someone or something. And, you know, he followed through. So.
Well, you know God is at work when I'm leading and singing, and somebody else is blessed by that. All right, next question is for Rick. All right. Rick, obviously, it wasn't all fun and games. We had some hard work to do as well, and God used you as well as the rest of us on some work projects. Why don't you share a little bit about that?
Well, we're planning for the trip. Rex says, well, what would you like to see happen when you go to Ecuador? And I said, well, the only thing I really know is construction, so I'm hoping we have some construction projects, because we hadn't had a plan by then. And then the week before we go, he says, you got God provided for you. We've got construction projects for you, and you're going to lead them up. So it worked out good. And Lucas and I led them. But I wanted to share a little bit about the family I was with, too. Joe and Heidi were on the screen. And Rex is saying, you're going to stay with the family. I'm going, Rex, I don't know, no Spanish. You know, why don't you put me with Lauren or somebody that speaks Spanish? You know, help me out. But I was blessed because this family grew up in Syracuse, New York. So, yeah, it's great. So it started out, they all called me Mr. Rick. And the first night I went to a Bible study with Joe. And there was 9 people in that home we went to. And they all come up and they just greet you and welcome you in. But they were doing Spanish. But the good thing was is when they had their paper, Marcos was Mark. So I would read it in English. And they would do their Spanish, and Joe would translate here. And they all wanted to make sure you understood that you got involved with their. So if I had something to add to the Bible study, Joe would translate. And that's just how the whole culture is over there. So we went to 2 Bible studies, and then Joe says, Rick, you realize God's telling you need to pray more, so you're praying for breakfast tomorrow morning. So that's what I did. I went from Mr. Rick, then I prayed for breakfast, and Joe says, I'm impressed. And I said, I am too, because I never prayed like that before. That's got to be God working here. So then I turned from Mr. Rick to Pastor Rick. So now I'm Pastor Rick. And then the kids were walking the kids around, and they said, Pastor Rick, how old are you? I said, how old do you think? They said, 50. I said, no, I'm 61. Oh, you can be our grandpa now. So now I'm Grandpa Rick. But anyway, so we ended up at the churches, and they had a lot of projects. And like I said, Lucas was a good leader, too. And here's Lauren working on the walls outside. The walls were really tough. They did a lot of scraping, and they just scraped and primed and painted the walls. And then outside here, the concrete was really rough. And so they air hammered all the concrete up and put it in bags. And then Rex is over here. They had to tear up the rug and then scrape up all the glue. And then it's like, I said, Pastor, you got something else I can do? Because I'm not working on that rug. So, and there's Fran over there. Fran's doing a painting. But is this Dixie over here? Yeah, there's Dixie working on this. That's the stage. And out here, the pastor, he says, all the bottom bricks were deteriorated. So he says, Mr. Rick, you come out and chip them all out and make them new. I said, yeah, I'll do that. So I'm making them new, and then the girls come out and say, Mr. Rick, we need you in the kitchen. I said, okay, so I got to go out there and scrape. Then Dan comes back and says, the pastor wants to see you again. So I go out and he goes, I want them to look like brick. I will. He said, they're hard. So I took the tool down and carved them all out. He goes, I like it like that. Now paint. So I painted. You can see where I was painting down there. And then he says, oh, I like it. Do 2 more. So we did 2 more rows. He goes, do the whole wall. I said, okay. So there we are. But it was a great experience. And we had probably like 36 people, and everybody just teamed up and worked together. This whole team did an awesome job. And just sharing with everybody was awesome. So.
One thing we talked about at our meeting last night as we were preparing for today was the patience that Rick had. He was doing some spackling on a corner of the wall, and all of the Doyle kids wanted to help him with that, you know, and you can imagine them. And he had this vision of what it was going to look like when they were all done, and he touched it up, but he had great, great patience with them. All right, so we also had the privilege of staying with either the missionaries or some nationals, and Kathy and I stayed with the pastor, Jairo, and his wife, and so I was going to let Kathy talk about that experience.
So, yeah, it was It was great to stay with the pastor and his wife. We had, at first I was a little concerned because I don't know Spanish. I know a little bit of French, but that didn't help. And but the Lord put us right where we needed to be. And they were a very sweet couple, Pastor Jairo and Veronica, and they had two children. And Veronica talked and translated a little bit of Spanish for us, and so we were able to bridge that gap. And even her daughter knew a little bit of English as well. So between the two of them, we were able to communicate. And the Lord really made it a sweet time for us. We spent every morning with them, and we were able to experience the culture a little bit more, to see how they live their everyday lives and how they eat. And they had plantains and amazing food that she made for us every morning. One thing that really came in handy for us was the translator app, and you can download that, the Google Translate. And we were able to type in, you know, what we were saying, and then show that to them, and they were like, oh, yeah, okay. And so we would go back and forth, and that was how we were able to translate, not only with the family we stayed with, but with people in the church as well. And so we'd be in the middle of a conversation, we'd go, oh, wait a minute, and then show it to them. So it was really, really a neat tool to be able to use. But we really fell in love with this family. The night before we left, we were up, Rex was up till 1 in the morning, I was up till midnight, and we just really were able to bond and to see how the body of Christ is not limited by geographical bounds, and that we were able to connect with a family on the other side of the world, and be able to see how, yes, we had a language barrier, we had differences in culture, but our faith in Christ is what binds us together. And so that was really a great experience to be able to share Christ, to share our joys and our sorrows, and be able to just lift each other up, encourage each other. A funny story that I have with, as far as a translating goes, is we had these little books that we put together with pictures, and then the picture would have a little Spanish word. So we have our family picture with, you know, my parents, and a picture of our kids, and we have our kid, you know, in Spanish it would say our kids. And one of the pictures that I had was an IT person, because that's my job, is working on computers. And so she was like, I don't understand. I said, I'm a geek, right? And she said, what geek? What geek? What's that mean? And so I typed it into the translator, and she started cracking up. And so I was like, what does it say? She goes, this says freaky. I said, well, I'll take it for what it means. I mean, so there were some challenges, but it was a very great experience to stay with a national.
And then also we had some time, not just with our host families, but with the whole group and those that were working with us. And we did something kind of unique each night. You want to talk about that?
Oh, yeah. We had every night that we were together as a team, usually it was around a bowl of ice cream, but we would do what we called thorn and roses. And so everybody would go around and we would share something that happened that day that was a blessing and something a challenge, so the thorn and the rose. And a lot of times that opened up opportunity for more conversation, we could kind of understand what the blessings were in people's lives, and then the thorns that we could pray for each other as we shared those things.
Okay, very good. Next question is for Fran. And so we were able to experience a little bit of the Ecuadorian culture, and I was going to let Fran touch on that.
Well, I just personally, I never had any desire to go south of Texas. I just wasn't interested in it, and just didn't do it. But now I love South America, and I can't wait to go back. But the culture... of course, it's Latin, South American culture, so they're a little more laid back than we are. They're more into relationships with one another. We would walk into the church, and they didn't know us from Adam. And they're coming up, and they would kiss us and give us a hug. And we just felt so, so welcome there. Dixie and I stayed together with the Doyles. So we stayed in an American, well, I don't know if it's really called American, but they spoke English, and the six girls, and we just formed a bond with them that's unbelievable. They're our grandchildren and our children now. And, you know, I do plan to go back there to visit them. But the culture, it's rich. It's a Spanish, Cuenca, Ecuador is Spanish in nature. Cuenca is a town in Spain, and that's why Cuenca, Ecuador is named for that. Sits, 10,000 feet in the Andes Mountains. And you don't just get there. We landed on the west coast there on the Pacific Ocean in Guayaquil and took a 3.5-hour ride that goes about 80 miles as the crow flies and up the hills and the mountains. And it was really amazing country there, to ride through the mountains and to see that. And then to come down into Cuenca, and it's just a sprawling city in a valley that's, I think it's 700,000 people in Cuenca. So there's a lot of opportunity for evangelism there. But it's just everywhere we went, it was just a one-on-one, with the waiter or, whoever was serving our food. They were grateful. Everyone was equal. No one was above anybody else. And it was just amazing, the culture. And the first night, I'll say this one thing about ladies. And I'm a lady. I prepare food, and I like to, entertain people. And these people were going to have these people staying in their homes. And all the ladies, that's the one thing that hit me. The very first thing was they were all nervous about, was their house going to be good enough for these people to stay in? Were they going to have the food to them? Food prepared for them. They had the same things that we have, when you're having company or guest over. But, as the week went on, we just all were just there together, and it was just really a bond. I'm so thankful. I'd just like to say thank you to those who helped me along, because I didn't know that I could really go either, financially or time away from my husband. And the Lord provided it all. He provided above and beyond, and I'm so thankful. And I'm thankful for my family, this family here. We're bonded. Ecuador. Go to Ecuador. ride a llama. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Our last night, we had dinner. We had a lot of things. We had Mexican food. We had a lot of rice, a lot of beans. And in the middle, on the bottom, you will see our cuy. C-U-Y is cuy. That is a guinea pig. And that's one of their main staples that they do. They brought these two guys in a pasteboard box, and they soak them in brine and cook them on a spit. And good. I wasn't gonna let an opportunity to do something different by me. So yeah, they cut that up. You cut it up with the scissors. It was very tender and crunchy, and it was kind of fatty though. It had some fat in it. I'm into vegetables and fruits, but I did eat it. But it tasted a lot like squirrel. I've had squirrel. I've eaten squirrel before. So it tasted a lot like squirrel to me. But, it was just fun. We had a good time. And, cooey's good.
It is good.
All right. One final aspect of the trip that we wanted to cover with you, and that is some of the ministry opportunities that we had over those 12 days, and I'm going to let Dixie touch on that.
One quick thing before, rooming with Franny is interesting. I came out one night and I said, Franny, I am picking up your accent, and Franny, I just used your toothbrush. Oh. She said, that's all right, I didn't like like it anyway, and she threw it away. Oh, dear. Anyway, in terms of ministry opportunities, one of the first ones we had soon after we got there was called Gran Colonia Vacacional, translated VBS. The night before, it was on a Saturday that it was scheduled for. They'd done all the preparations. It was their first attempt at VBS. So the night before, our team gathered at the little church, little storefront church, and went out in teams with one of the members of the congregation, and they just kind of covered the streets all over, and they dispensed cards with information and just invited anybody and everybody they could. Next day, we just kind of waited to see what was going to happen, and lo and behold, we had a beautiful group of young children to come in. And we sang, we danced, we played games, we played volleyball, we did bracelets, gospel bracelets, we ate snacks. We just loved on those people and those kids, and it was great. And I think they felt pretty good at the end of the day that that had been a successful endeavor. So I know we enjoyed it, for sure.
Said five new kids came the next day. The next day, five new kids.
Say that again.
Oh, Joe said that five new kids came to Sunday service the next day after we did that. So that was a blessing right there, just to have those kids come. Yeah.
Then we were privileged to go on what was called a park ministry. There's a lot of parks in the city that run along the river and so forth. And we went to a park armed with blow-up soccer balls, a great big kite thingy, and face painting. And we just kind of entered the park area and just blended in. And we just kind of... Huh? And we just kind of spread out and joined. Kids would join us, and we had soccer games going. We had the face painting. We had just a number of things going on just to invite them in. And meanwhile, Dan and another pastor made conversation with the families, with the parents of the kids, and it was just a beautiful effort. And they've seen results from this kind of ministry. So it's an ongoing thing, and we were privileged to be a part of that. In terms of work ministry, Rick has already given you the lowdown on that. It was profound. It was good work. I think it must have been a great encouragement to that church, because, boy, they dreamed big. We tore that church apart. The floors, the ceilings, the walls, the outside, the inside, upstairs and down. And miraculously, it came together. Mm-hmm. And they fed us. We had great times of opportunity to be with those people, to work beside them. It was a beautiful experience all together. Each of the weekends, we worshiped first in one church and then the other. And Rex preached beautiful message from the Gospel of John of encouragement, and Dan translated. Afterwards, we had a great deal of time to spend with the folks, and just language didn't appear to be a barrier. It just wasn't a barrier because of Christ. So that was a great, great opportunity, and we made the most of it. So... I think that's about it.
All right, very good. I just wanted to, we have one more thing that we want to do before we conclude the service, and you're going to get to participate in this with us. But just wanted to encourage anyone here has not gone on a short-term mission trip, hopefully as a result of what you've heard us share, and you've heard a report from two other teams this summer that went on a mission trip, that our prayer is that God is stirring in your heart to be used of him on a trip like this. And I'm sure there'll be something planned for next year. So already make it a commitment as a family that wherever it is, I want to be a part of it. So We pray for that. Now, I'm going to hand it over to Lauren, and she's going to lead us in the last part of this presentation.